You are listening to a Need 10 Media podcast production.
This is the Career Adventure Podcast, episode 001, presented by the Motivators Assessment. On this episode, we hear from Mike Kim. Mike left a six-figure income with a Fortune 500 company doing marketing and also copywriting work to go out on his own and live his own career adventure.
Welcome to the Career Adventure Podcast with Nate Klaber, the show dedicated to changing the dynamic with parents, educators, and coaches in helping to guide students to a purposeful, prosperous, and passionate life after graduation. Nate believes that people should do work that motivates them and fits what they are wired to do. And this show is designed to help you find that pathway to a successful career adventure. Now here's Nate.
Welcome aboard. How are you? Welcome to the Career Adventure Podcast. And this is an exciting time as we rebrand our podcast and talking about careers and talking about jobs and talking about next steps for so many people to move forward in their lives. And in doing that, we're going to hear from people and hear about their adventures along the way. Some you may know, some you may not know, and you'll hear my story along the way of how my adventure has gone. But in this episode today, it is an exciting one for me. It's really a bucket list experience that I had interviewing Mike Kim. Mike has been something I've been following for about 5 years as I was making a career pivot from full-time economic development work to running my own business. He's worked with John Maxwell, Donald Miller, Suzanne Evans, been a part of the Catalyst Leadership Group, and I've been following his brand new podcast, which has nearly 200 episodes now. And I've been also a part of his brand new boot camp and his collaborative trainings. That's done a lot for me and my business. But I did have the opportunity to meet Mike recently at a Social Rock conference that was put on by our friend Lauren Davis in Rockford, Illinois. This, again, was a bucket list experience for me to see Mike speak in person and get the chance to record my first episode of this new podcast series with him. Mike, truly an authentic guy, and he's living the life he wants while helping so many others in their business along the way. As will be a trend with this show, we're always going to find out what our guests thought they wanted to be when they grew up. If someone asked you, second grade, what you wanted to do when you grew up, what did you say?
Totally true story. I was not anyone who had a lot of ambition. My dad would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I told him, movie guy. So he thought I wanted to be an actor. Like for 20 years of my life, he thought I wanted to be an actor. And what I meant was a movie usher. The guy who wore stuff like that, right? Like just suits and blazers and walked up and down with a flashlight because I was like, that guy gets to watch free movies. So I was not a kid who had like a lot of ambition when I was a kid. And
you didn't realize people could seat themselves in the future.
I did not know that. And so later on in life, probably when I got into like junior high, I started thinking a little bit more about like what I really wanted to do. I loved comic books and I was good at art. So that was around 16 was the first time I really looked at what I wanted to do. And so I convinced my mom, who thought this was the dumbest thing in the world, to let me go to the Jacob Javits Center in New York City and go to Comic-Con and draw some things and submit them to Marvel Comics and DC Comics. And some of the guys like Frank Miller, I met them, these guys whose comic books I was reading. And they were like, oh, you're actually not too bad at laying things out, but you need to work on some anatomy. You need to work on a little perspective. And then I realized how difficult it was. That's what I wanted to kind of do. I was good at art, but I don't think I could create from scratch. I should have been the guy who inks the art or something like that, right? Rather than sketching the art, but that's what I wanted to be when I was a kid. Yeah.
So then what happened from there? You know, from that age on, did it not get nurtured? Did it get redirected?
It got redirected. It did not get nurtured because I realized how hard it was. And going back to what I just said, I don't think I was a super ambitious kid when I was growing up. And I channeled it more through music. I was really involved. My mom started taking us to a Christian church when I was in middle school. And I didn't like church very much. It was boring to me, right, as a teenager. But I did like the fact that they had music because the one I went to, they had, like, drums. Right. And, like, guitars, like, real bands. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that you could do that in a church. So I figured I'm going to learn how to do that. If I have to go to church on Sundays, I'll learn how to do that. And to tie this all back, I actually took piano lessons since I was about 3 years old. And I was really good at that. But my parents ran out of money. So we never continued my my piano lessons past a few years, but they said my instructors were like, he's really good. So clearly I had this creative bent through music and art, and I was always good at writing. That's like what my wheelhouse was. I just had to find different ways to channel it. And now that I look back and look at a career in marketing, I'd see how that all lines up. But there was no way that would have made sense to me at 16, 17, 18 years old.
This is the season of graduation season. I always like to talk to high school seniors and say, what are you doing next year? What's your graduation story? What was your graduation story? What did you think you were going to do when you left high school, and what your next stop was, and how you were going to make it there?
Well, I'm Korean American. And so in Korean culture, you go to college no matter what. I mean, it's a given. And I didn't know that college was optional. My whole life, I was told, you're going to college after you finish high school. I was like, what? And then I had to get used to the idea that there were people that didn't go to college. It was just so foreign to me. Now, obviously, I don't care, sure. Right? But that's the world that I was conditioned in. And so when I left high school, when I finished high school, I went to Rutgers. I had no idea what I wanted to major in. And I figured, I'm supposed to go to college, so I'm sure I'll figure out something there that I like. I didn't find anything that I liked. I was like, oh, man, I just want to play video games and play music and whatever. So I am truly that high school student who got decent grades, went to college, did not know what he wanted to do. Looking back, I realized I was completely wired to be a creative entrepreneur.
Right.
But no one in my family, no one in my social circles, whether high school or church or anything like that, I was never around those people. And coming from an Asian culture where I was told there's three things you can do in your life: a doctor, a lawyer, or a business person. That's what I was told. And I didn't like any of those things. Now I'm a business person, but not in the typical suit and tie sense. So I'm glad I'm born in this day and age, because you know, I'll blog, I'll podcast, I'll speak at events. We're sitting at an event in the back room right now, Nate and I, right? Those of you tuning in. And I can create every day. I'm creating art. I'm sharing my ideas and my thoughts, but I'm also building a business. I've done the corporate thing. I was paid very well to do the corporate thing, but I just couldn't. That wasn't me. So, yeah.
I think a lot of people, especially the conference we're at, you feel like you don't want to be strapped in that box, or you're caught in this box, but, you know, I still feel it every now and then of maybe I should get in the box. It feels a little safe in there.
Yeah.
What do you say to that? Or do you still have some of those thoughts of there's the security of the box, but there's also the excitement of playing outside the box?
I don't worry about it anymore. I've been on my own working for myself for about 4 years now, full time. I've made more money doing that than I ever did at a really high paying corporate job. And it was just practical business building and connecting with customers, clients. I come from this world where you can solve problems and make a living without going to an office. And to me, business is nothing more than solving a problem for a profit. That's it. I mean, cut and dry, end of the day, you can solve people's problems and get paid for it. You've got a business. Sometimes you're paid through a paycheck at a company and they can replace you. And that's a role. And I just did not want to empower people to make those decisions for me, you know. So I would, if I could give my 18-year-old self a piece of advice, I turned 18 the day I graduated high school. So my birthday is in late June. So I could have gone either way. I could have been in high school a year later, had I started a year later, but my parents, again, Korean, ambitious, we will send him to school as fast as possible, right? When I look back at that time, I ask myself and other people a lot these three questions. I call them the PB3, the personal branding three. And the first is, what pisses you off? And I use that language on purpose, right? And then that's really the injustice that you see in the world. All people feel something about injustice. I don't care if you're 18 years old, 38 years old, or 88 years old, or 8 years old. We feel injustice. You're 8 years old and some kid steals your toy, you're like, the end of the world is nigh, right? And then the second question is, what really breaks your heart? And that's the compassion you have. And third is, what's the big problem you're trying to solve? And that should be your career. That should be your business if you want to start one. But it's all got to stem from that kind of deep-seated emotional. That emotion, that's when you, I feel, are aligned as a person. Like, you are true to yourself, right? So when I ask myself those questions now, and when I made my way out of corporate America, when I think about who I was when I was 18, all the answers are pretty much the same. I just wanted to live life on my own terms. I didn't want to be told what to do. I wanted to call my own shots. I was willing to work. I wanted autonomy early on in life. And that's why I had such a strong reaction to college. Because when I was in college, Nate, I felt like, why do I have to take this class? This is totally pointless. I know what I don't like. I don't ever want to take a math class ever again. Why do I need to take basic math class for a college degree? I worked my way accidentally into AP calculus in 12th grade because I went to summer school 1 year with a friend of mine. I thought we were going for remedial studies. We advanced a grade in math between 10th and 11th grade. I'm like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing. I just faked it till I made it. I want to take pre-calc in 12th grade. I don't want to take AP calculus. And I had to drop the class because I literally didn't know what I was doing. When I went to college, I was like, I know. I don't want to do anything with math or science. You can just take those complete. I will take every English, every writing course, every humanities course, government, history, whatever. So when I was in college, I played my strengths, but I found that incredibly frustrating. I had an idea of what I didn't want to do. And so when I think about the big problem I want to solve now is I want to help people live a life that's true to themselves. There are many folks who want to work corporate, want to put on the suit and tie, want to work their way up. All the power to them because we need them. I love Amazon. I love what these companies do for me as a citizen of the world, right. You know? The world would not be a good place if it was run by people like me. I'm just a willing player in it, and I can help those companies. But to me, it's those three questions. And when I look back on my life, actually, that's who I always was.
So we're really trying to target with this is parents, you know, and of course the challenge is kids don't listen to their parents, but I do know parents are the ones that will flip the bill one way or another for what their future is or what it is. You know, what's your advice to, you talk about your nephews, what's your advice to your sister and your brother-in-law with your nephews coming up to look at what they should do or even what you ask them what they want to be when they grow up when you see them?
Yeah, my nephews are 4 and 2 years old now.
You probably get some funny answers from the four-year-old at least.
I want to be a firefighter. I want to play with trucks. And, you know, my sister and my brother-in-law are not entrepreneurs, right? They're both consultants. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in the D.C. area, I mean, right there, right? And my sister's got a side hustle going right now because, you know, she's seen what I've done with my blog and podcast and all these things. So she's kind of inspired. But what I would encourage them to do is to allow them to explore their interests, their curiosities. This doesn't come easily in adulthood because you're locked down at a job. You're doing these things. I'm very fortunate because I have a life now and I earn my living in a way that allows me to explore my curiosities while working. The first piece of advice I would just give is let them explore their curiosities. Like give them, I know they have to finish their homework. I know they have to like try some new things that they might not like in the beginning. I completely understand that. I look back, Nate, at how I learned, and I've shared this actually with my sister and brother-in-law so that they'd have some perspective. I just told everybody listening to us right now that I wasn't very good at math. I didn't like math, but you know what? I could remember the uniform numbers of baseball players, their batting averages, their stats. I mean, without trying, I knew them. Till this day, I never forget what hotel room I'm in. Mm-hmm. I travel all the time. I go to a new hotel, I know exactly what room I'm in.
Which room are you in tonight?
265. I know, right? And so like when I think back on that, it was because those numbers were applied to something that was of interest to baseball at the time for me. Even till this day, I will look at stats for a baseball player. And so I was telling my sister and brother-in-law, I was like, you know, it's if someone were able to connect how I thought about math and numbers to something of interest where I could see its practicality in the world, that's what I was going for. I was like, this guy shouldn't hit third in the lineup. He never drives in over 100 runs a year. And so I applied the numbers, whereas in school, I was just reading them off a page and solving
problems. So even if you look at your business and you're looking at any sort of statistics on your email campaigns or marketing, your social media or whatever, that probably really jazzes you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I can apply it to something that has real-world applications and an effect on my life. I remember in senior year, I was like, why do I have to learn calculus? Where am I ever going to use this? like in a practical day-to-day sense.
And the answer was, because you need to.
Because I need to. I remember telling my friends, I was like, here's where calculus is used. I can go to McDonald's, pump the ketchup thing once, and it fills the cup exactly. That must be calculus. That's what I thought. But and I knew that was important, but I knew it wasn't for me. So that's one thing. Let people like explore their curiosities. If you see your kid, or if you're listening in and you're a teenager, and you start like you learn a certain way, I realize how I learned. That was the great key to self-awareness and growth for me. I realized how I learned. I always have to tie it to something that has real ramifications on my life.
Taking a break from this episode to tell you about the Motivators Assessment. A few years back, when I made a big turn on my own career adventure, I was traveling through O'Hare Airport, and I discovered the book What Motivates Me from The Culture Works. I was drawn to it because at the time in my life, I was looking to find out how I can get more excitement in the work I was doing. It wasn't about my strengths or personality, but what kind of work gets me excited each day. Going through this assessment, it gives you a great report. I learned that my key motivators are problem solving, learning, and developing others. It does really fit me. Go to whatmotivates.me, whatmotivates.me, to see what motivates you.
The second piece of advice I would give, and this is one thing I wish my parents pushed me on, learn a second language early. I don't speak very much Korean. When I was a kid, they were under the impression, my mom and dad, that this would confuse me and it would be detrimental to my schoolwork. And it's just not true. All the psychologists and studies show it's not true. Kids are just so much more malleable with learning language. So my brother-in-law is Caucasian, my sister's Korean, and my sister speaks very good Spanish too. So when they raise my oldest nephew, who's 4 now, he doesn't call water water, he calls it agua. He goes to a nursery where there are Spanish caretakers, so he hears a lot of Spanish. He'll come home and speak Spanish and say things in Spanish at 3-4 years old. He'll talk to us in English, but then when he calls my, what he calls my grandmother is the Korean word for grandmother, and all of a sudden when he's handed a pair of chopsticks, he starts saying Korean things that he's heard my mother say. He's never been taught, he just picked up on it, and he's 4. And it's incredible to me. And I wish I learned a second or third language early on. And so that's a big struggle for me even right now, because I'm an adult, so it's hard to learn.
So first was nurture, you know, the interest, things like that, and, yeah. And look at language. Any other key notes in there that you'd pass along?
Just make learning fun. You know, this is another. This is actually something not a lot of people know about me, but for years out of college, I worked at an SAT school, and I was teaching high school students how to ace their SATs and ACTs. You know, the bottom line was most students they're not good readers. Reading is very difficult for them. So they don't understand nuance. But when a kid enrolls in a program and they've got to boost their SAT score in 10 weeks, mm-hmm. they don't have time to become a great reader. You just have to help them pass a test. And I just didn't like that. I was successful at it. My students did really well, but I didn't really like that. And I think that takes a lot of the joy of learning out. The best books I ever read were the ones that I didn't have to read.
Sure.
The ones they told me I didn't have to read.
And so, yeah. So your niche is into copywriting, and I sure you'd probably take that mentality into what you process now or what you put out. Even the email campaigns you put out, they're simple paragraphs. There's not a lot to it. There's the meat is right in there. You don't have to go through the fluff.
And that was a transition for me, Nate, because I was a strong academic writer. I got good grades on papers. And when I went into the marketing space, I had to write for the everyday person. The everyday person reads at a 6th grade level.
Sure.
They don't want words that are more than 3 syllables. All that SAT vocabulary that I learned, I don't use in a day-to-day, you know, application. But what I do know I have to do is convey things quickly, simply, powerfully. That's not always an easy combination. I believe that the future belongs to the storyteller. If you can tell a great story, you're going to win. It's what people remember. It's what they identify with. Today, as a professional communicator, it's all I do. The movies that are out now, the TV shows, the way we're entertained, even the features that are on our social media channels, they're called Instagram stories. everyone is now becoming, whether they realize it or not, a storyteller. And if you as a parent can fan that flame in your child's life, you will set them up for incredible success. It doesn't matter if they're running for president, they've got to tell stories. It doesn't matter if they're running finance as the CFO for a company, there's a story in that spreadsheet. And the more and more that you can encourage your kids to tell stories, to learn how to tell stories, the more and more, if you're a student listening in, that you can learn to tell stories powerfully and effectively, you'll never be out of a job. You'll always have work. You'll always have
work. Yeah, and that, you know, you're proving exactly which makes me happy of the theories I have. Not necessarily, schools, I think, prepare you to go to graduate.
Yes.
They're not preparing you for the rest of your life, if you will. So where does that graduation story come in? That's going to show what your next steps are, who, what, where, and why you're involved with it. Mm-hmm. But, let's peel back. And I got to tell a quick story, and we were talking beforehand. 2015 is when I first came across Mike Kim. Yeah. You know, who's Mike Kim? Been following Lee Cockrell. Got a chance to meet Lee a year and a half ago down in Florida. When he says he'll meet you to Starbucks at 7 in the morning, he will actually meet you at Starbucks at 7 in the morning. So my daughter and I got to go out and visit him and get a chance to meet with you today. But, you know, just the branch that I, from Lee of to Jody Mayberry to Mike Kim to Don Miller and Ray Edwards and Jonathan Milligan, all the people that I've been following the last 4 or 5 years. And your stuff, I'll tell you this, came at a perfect time when I was in a full-time job going, I'd need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, the same as you're talking about trying to find something on your own, there's something missing. When your pivot profiles came out and I'm reading through those and just trying to find that avenue. I'll thank you for helping me jump out of the nest, if you will, and make some progress. So yeah,
I didn't know that. But even that whole magazine was all stories of people who had made that career transition. Sometimes people transition from a corporate job into entrepreneurship, like you and I did. Others go from entrepreneurship and they want to go back into a corporate job. And that's what they always wanted. They didn't realize it. Others leave.
And there's nothing wrong with
that. Nothing wrong with that at all. We need them. They leave business to go into nonprofit, or vice versa. They start a nonprofit and go into business. One thing that gives me a great deal of comfort is that, you know, sociologists have done all sorts of studies, but they will say that, you know, at the end of your life, you know, especially this generation, you're bound to have 13 different careers.
I think I'm on eight right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's something that I think we need to shine a bigger light on, because we always talk about new beginnings, but endings are just as important. Endings are just as natural a part of life. I feel for my friends who are in certain industries, healthcare, law, education. Much of the time, they can't pivot out of those because this is just who they are. And they've invested so much money, time, and energy, and hours upon hours in studying, but they're not happy. You can go at Rutgers, let's say, very, very top pharmacy school in the country, and you'll go there for 7 years, become a pharmacist. Throughout that entire 7 year period, you're learning something new every day. You got to learn new medicines, new treatments, you name it. Every day you're learning something new. Every test counts in that profession. You graduate, they stuff you in the back, they ship you out to CVS, and all you do is count pills for the next 40 years. Right. Now, there's nothing new to learn. They're bored out of their minds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big deception, right? At least if you're a lawyer, new cases are coming. It's a challenge. I can see why certain trial lawyers love it. So it's interesting that these professions that were so heralded when in my youth, I look at them very different now. You're a doctor. You went to school and residence and 10, 12 years. I make more money than you now. You're not happy. You're not going to put all this time into another career. And on top of that, and this goes back to my point, let people explore their curiosities. The folks who struggle the most going into business for themselves or becoming entrepreneurs are people from highly regulated industries, healthcare, law, education, government. They're afraid of getting their wrists slapped. Am I allowed to say this? Am I allowed to say that? Am I going to get in trouble? They see red lights everywhere. It's compliance overload, right? Whereas me, I'm just kind of gunslinging and stuff like that. And I realized that's how I was wired as a kid. That's what serves me well as an entrepreneur today.
Which I have now found comfort to, you know, should everybody be an entrepreneur? No. You know, I go back to the Caddyshack. The world needs ditch diggers too, Danny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we still need all those people in those structured industries to help keep the world going. But I'm sure you get it too when they look at you as a gunslinging entrepreneur. They're like, we got to put that guy in a box. He's dangerous. But maybe some of that trend is changing a little bit.
It is. I think organizations will continue to become decentralized. There's a whole there has been in the last few years a whole wave of, you know, work from home and things like that. And now I think it's going to come back around, and I think companies are going to clamp down on that because, you know, whoever they pay to make these studies will make studies that say, no, we need to have people in workplaces. Because, look, if you have things like that happen, entire cities will lose their workforce. You will see abandoned office buildings. I mean, the infrastructures of cities will just come apart. So I do think that companies are going to start peeling back on that. They already have, to be honest. We live in the information age. We've never lived in a point in history where more information is accessible than ever before. If you are an entrepreneur, if you are in the space where you want to be paid for what you think, the world's wide open. Are there industries where you should go to school? Yeah, I would hope my doctor went to school. I would hope, you know, the architect who built the bridge that, you know, millions of cars are crossing on. Those are important. But unless you are in healthcare, law, education, engineering, the sciences, right? I'm not anything outside of the STEM or a lot of things that are not within the STEM categories. I'm not sure. You know, historians, yeah, we need. Language, yeah, we need. Outside of that, I'm not really sure that applies as much anymore.
So as you're looking at those people that are maybe looking to go on their own and maybe find their own path, you know, that's where you come in to specialize and try and help people try and build themselves and maybe find their way out of that nest. How can they follow you to learn more about it?
I would absolutely just recommend, you're listening to us on a podcast, go to my podcast. It's called the Brand You Podcast. It's ranked number one in Apple Podcasts right now on personal branding. And that's all about building a personal brand. Now, I believe we all have a personal brand. A brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. I mean, it's that simple. If you have kids and you're tuning in as a parent, I mean, what they're posting on social media, that stuff does not go away. You know, people these days have to learn the art and the nuance of what story am I telling people about myself through my story, through my social media channels, because they're telling one. They're becoming a brand. Secondly, though, if you're in the practical sense wanting to build a business, how to become a consultant or a speaker or a coach or, you know, an author, whatever, there's a lot of content there. Clarity empowers. And those three questions I asked before, like what really ticks you off, what breaks your heart, what's the big problem you're trying to solve, that's a great starting point. And it allows you to kind of do a little introspection and figure out what it is you really want out of life, because those things will change overall, or the way that those needs are met will change overall. But what you want in life doesn't fundamentally change. It's who you are.
Such a great opportunity to spend time with Mike and learn more about what his career adventure has meant, from possibly wanting to be a movie usher to being involved in the Marvel universe to being the entrepreneur that he is now. Careers aren't what they once were, as we discussed through that, of careers from medicine and architecture and education and law to where the trends are going in our culture today. You know, that's something that really impacts me, to really give you some clarity. Not only, I think, if you're going to start a business, but also in anything that you do, if it's socially or personally or professionally, thinking what does really tick you off? What breaks your heart? What's a big problem you're trying to solve? That can really play into all sorts of things as you're trying to figure out your next steps in life. Again, check out Mike and his free branding bootcamp at mikekim.com/start. His podcast called Brand You Podcast continues to roll, pushing 200 episodes. And follow him along on Instagram. He's got some great stuff he puts in his stories, has good humor with it as well. I'll put all those links in our show notes. As we come to the end of this episode, I invite you to check out the Motivators Assessment at whatmotivates.me. Find out not only what motivates you, but how that can help you in your life and future.
If you haven't done so already, hit subscribe to enjoy future episodes. Build your career adventure at nateklaberg.com.
Production assistance provided by Bill Jordan Voiceovers. Visit BillJordanVO.com. And music from this podcast is On the Verge by Joseph McCade. Visit JosephMcCade.com.
This podcast is a Need 10 Media production.